So Father, we're just so grateful that we can gather together like this. And folks, I'm actually going to get straight into what I want to share, and I'll pray just now. So I'm going to speak on a topic here this morning that I haven't spoken on for some years. And it's really something that we should hear, I think, maybe twice a year or so. All right? And this is in the area where the enemy is coming in like a flood. The enemy is coming into the lives of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming in as a thief to steal our health, to steal our healing. And the title of my message is, Jesus Has Not Stopped Healing People.
Amen.
We've seen that today. We've heard testimonies of that today. Jesus has not stopped healing people. Tell the person next to you. Folks, there is an enemy out there that has come to steal. He's come to steal in a lot of areas, but one of the areas that he comes to steal in is our health. And his very nature is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And yet, it's God's will that you and I may walk in health. Do you know that? We're going to have a look at that in the Word of God here this morning. That is the will of God. And for us to know what the will of God is, we need to get into the Word of God, because the will of God is in the Word of God. And one of the big problems, I think, is that with many believers, we're a little bit lazy when it comes to getting into God's Word, spending time in the Word, meditating on the Word, and allowing the Word to refresh us, especially when it comes to this. So I'm really trusting that, as I share here this morning, that faith is going to increase in areas in a lot of areas, but particularly in the area of, that sounds better. I feel like I'm shouting. Is that better? No. All right, I'm just carrying on. Maybe just turn it down a bit, thanks. In the area of our healing. And we need to know what the Word of God says about this very important topic. Amen. So that is what I'm going to be sharing on this morning. Hopefully with no distractions. Any more distractions? But what I thought I'd do, I would ask a whole lot of questions this morning. It's questions that, you know, we ask, and then hopefully be able to answer some of these questions as we look at the Word of God. So the first thing is, how do we get our faith to rise and our faith to increase so that we can receive our healing? How do we do that? Because we need to have faith for healing. In fact, it's very interesting that we need to have faith for healing, but there is a story that we see in the Word of God where the person that needed healing didn't actually, his healing wasn't dependent on his faith. Do you remember the story about the guy that they opened up the roof, they moved the roof tiles and they lowered him down and he was healed? And what Jesus said, he actually commented on the faith of his friends. Is that true? So sometimes we might be at a place where our faith level is not where it should be, but man, the person that is going to be praying for you, we trust in that situation, in that rare situation, that person that prays for you has faith. Amen. So the thing, you know, the Word of God says that faith comes. So we know that faith is out there, that it comes. And then it tells us how it comes. Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. That is how we get our faith levels. And I want to say to us that if you are not one that is spending time in the Word of God, meditating on God's Word, it's more than likely that you are not a person that is walking in the faith, or at the faith level that you should be walking at. Right? I want to encourage us all, folks, to get into God's Word. Spend time in the Word of God, as this is so important. So if we desire healing in our body, we need to meditate on those healing scriptures. Is that right? Make a list of all those healing scriptures and start to meditate on those healing scriptures that are in the Word of God. And really, as we do this, you'll find that those scriptures become alive.
The Word of God, there's, you know, when we talk about the Word of God, there is the Rhema Word of God and the Logos Word of God. So the Bible, all those verses in the Bible, that is the Word of God and it is the Logos. Is that right? Then we have what we call the Rhema. When you take out a scripture, in fact, Jesus, remember, Jesus is the living Word. That's what the, and He is the living Logos. But when you take out specific scriptures and you meditate on them, suddenly they become alive to you. It's like there's a something on the inside of you that you get a revelation of the fact that the Word of God is alive. Those scriptures are ignited on the inside of you, and from being the Logos Word, they become the Rhema Word, where we suddenly just know that we know that we know that, you know, God's Word is alive and sharper than any two-edged sword, and that when we speak the Rhema Word out, things start to happen. That's when we get revelation of it. So as we do this, as I say, we read the Word of God, the Word of God becomes alive to us. And it's the Holy Spirit will set these scriptures, how can I explain it? You just know that God's Word is true. And you just know that when you speak it out, there will be signs and wonders and miracles and incredible things happening in your life. So listen carefully to God's word today as I share this, you know, specifically in the area of healing that we're going to be looking at today. And folks, let's take ownership of these verses. Each verse that I'm sharing today is for you. It's for me. It's for us. And let's take ownership of them, because afterwards, we're going to be praying for anybody that needs a touch from the Lord in terms of healing, right? Is that okay? You're going to come forward. So prepare your heart. Prepare your heart as you allow faith to rise up on the inside of you. In fact, the Word of God says very clearly, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So are you ready to receive here this morning? Are you ready to receive?
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to trust Him for a mighty, mighty outpouring of His healing power, of His healing anointing. And as I say, when people come up here, we just trust that the Lord is there. We're going to see signs and wonders and miracles. Amen. Really, I mean it, right? So let's just open in prayer. So Father, thank You, Lord. Thank You that even as Your word goes out this morning, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, that Your word does not return void, but that Your word accomplishes all that You have for it to accomplish. And we say thank You, Lord, that as we share on this very, very important topic, that the captives will be set free. It's Your anointing, Your healing power that breaks the yoke of bondage. And we just say thank You for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, let's go. The sound still sounds funny to me. Is that okay there?
Fine.
Is it all right? Okay. Okay, folks, Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Now, it's very interesting. So often when you look at Scripture, when you see the Holy Spirit, so often it's linked to power as well. Holy Spirit and with power. And what did He do? He went around doing good and healing.
Oh.
Say it again.
Oh.
So I can't hear you.
Oh.
All. All means all. And if you have all, is anything left over?
No.
No. So, healing all. Tell the person next to you all.
All.
Not some.
All.
Healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Folks, the interesting part about this is that Jesus has not changed. He has not changed. Jesus is still doing in 2025 what He did 2,000 years ago when He walked on planet Earth. Because we see in Hebrews 13 verse 8, it says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if this scripture is true, and it is true, He is still healing those who are oppressed by the devil. Right? And today He works differently because He works through His people. With Jesus, we know there was a death, there was a burial, There was a resurrection. That's what Easter's all about, Easter Sunday. And ultimately, there was an ascension where Jesus ascended. He is now at the right hand of the Father, and he is interceding for you and for me. That's what he's doing right now. So, let me ask this question. Who oppresses mankind with sickness and disease? Do we know? Let me read what Jesus said. This isn't what Paul said. This is what Jesus said in John 10:10. The thief, he's the devil. We've just seen that he's a thief. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But then Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it in abundance, or have abundant life. Isn't that amazing? Now, I was doing some preparation the other day, and I was going through something, and I did a quick study on the reason why Jesus came to planet Earth. And you know, folks, there are 32 reasons why Jesus came that are actually stated in the Bible. And one of them is that you and I may have life and life in abundance. Isn't that amazing? That we have abundant life. So Jesus here makes it very, very, very clear by the words that he actually spoke that he is the deliverer and that Satan is the oppressor. I'll say that again. Jesus is the deliverer and Satan is the oppressor. And never, ever get that confused. We must not be confused for that. You know, we must never be people, especially as believers, who, and I've heard this many times, who will say, you know what? You know what? God has placed sickness on me. You know, he wants to teach me something. Have you ever heard that? God's placed sickness on you to teach you something. That is totally, a total contradiction to what the Word of God says. And yet, believers in Jesus will ponder that and start to believe it. That it is God that's made them sick to teach them something, or maybe because of some sin that they've committed, or rah, 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 rah. Okay? Folks, and let me say that when we start to make those type of false confessions, you have a devil there that is going like this. He gets so excited because you start to believe that. You believe a lie. And he didn't really have to do too much, you know, kind of being on your case for you to believe that. So folks, we must never ever confuse that and never start to believe the lie that it is God at times, you know, God put sickness on you. Jesus came to heal the sick and not place sickness on people. And we're going to look at a lot of scriptures here this morning that confirm that. Right? By the time we leave here today, we need to have our theology corrected, if it is incorrect at the moment, when it comes to this. I want to read us a story here this morning that we see in the Word of God. It's about a woman that was bound up for 18 years. 18 years. This is Luke 13, verse 10. And it says, and now he, talking about Jesus, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Oh my word. When Jesus speaks in the synagogue on the Sabbath, this is when all the religious leaders freak out. Because they get bent out of shape because there are signs and wonders and miracles taking place. And they say, oh, you know, you mustn't heal on the Sabbath. Is that true? Anyway, it was on the Sabbath. And there was a woman who had a disabling spirit. For how long? 18 years. So from this we can see that it's an evil spirit. Is that right? And it was an evil spirit that caused this thing, and he tells us what it is, for 18 years, folks. It says that she was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. So for 18 years, this woman has been walking around like that. Can you imagine how many doctors she would have gone to? What she would have done? She would have done anything, you know, for her healing. So she was bent over and she could not fully straighten herself. And when Jesus saw her, He called her over and he said to her, now Jesus addresses her. He says, woman, you are freed from this disability. You are freed. And then watch what he did. And he laid his hands on her. Laying hands, folks, is scriptural. He laid his hands on her. There's an impartation. God, in our situation, God the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us. And as we lay, as believers lay hands on sick people, there's an impartation that actually takes place. It said he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now watch verse 16, just a few verses on. It says, and ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound? Who does the binding? Whom Satan bound for 18 years. Who caused the problem here? Folks, we need to get a revelation of this so we don't have wacky theology about sickness. Who is Satan bound for 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And of course they were whinging because he had, you know, the miracles took place on the Sabbath. So we can see here that Satan brings sickness and God provides the anointing to set us free. And that's just the way it is. The Bible says that it's his anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. The Bible says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. It's all about freedom. So here's a question. So what did God do for mankind when he saw Satan oppressing mankind? What did God do? He sent Jesus to defeat the enemy for us. He sent Jesus to set us free. He sent Jesus to take the punishment that was due to you and the punishment that was due to me because of our sin, right? He sent Jesus to take it all upon himself so that you and I don't have to take it. He sent Jesus so that, this is an important one, he sent Jesus so that you and I could have full authority over the evil one, over the devil. You and I have authority. We're going to look at that scripture here this morning as well. We have authority over the works of the evil one. We see in 1 John 3:8, the reason, here's another reason, the Son of God appeared. This is another reason why Jesus came to planet Earth. Was to destroy the works of the devil. We know he comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And Jesus came to destroy him and his works. And it's interesting, when you have a look at the Greek, for that, it means to loosen those that are bound by the works of the devil. So in other words, Satan comes in, and it's as if in certain areas, like with this woman, he comes in and he bound her up. And the Greek says, to loosen those who are bound by the works of the devil. So we are those that need to walk in this freedom, that we are those who have been loosed from the works of the evil one. In Matthew 8:16, it says, that evening they brought to him, they brought to Jesus, many who were oppressed by demons, right? And he, that is Jesus, cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed how many?
All.
Tell the person next to you.
All.
Folks, every time we see Jesus operating, and it's referring to this, it says all. It says, and he healed all who were sick. And this was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illness and he bore our diseases. So basically what happened, that there was an exchange that took place. I think I spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. All our sickness, all our sin was placed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in return, what happened? We received his righteousness. Okay? So we became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are righteous. Okay, you are the righteousness of God according to Scripture. So really, what this does, it actually means that in his death, he took all our sickness upon himself. And like I said early on, if he took it all, how much is left over?
Nothing.
Right? So all our diseases, all our sicknesses were placed upon him so that we could be totally free of sickness and disease. This is what the Bible says. You know, it's interesting. 23 times in the New Testament, or no, in the Bible, sorry. The Bible actually states that Christ healed them all, or that Christ healed everyone. Folks, there has to be no confusion when it comes to this thing. He is the healer. So the question now is, did Jesus die to take away our sickness? I'm asking the question. Did he? Well, you all said yes, but I'm going to give you a verse that endorses what you've just told me. Okay. 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree or on the cross. Why? That we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And then it says, by his wounds you have been healed. You have been healed. And this means that we are a people that were healed 2,000 years ago at his death. That's when we were healed, when he took our sins upon himself. So my question to us, and I need to say that we are living in a fallen world. There's no question about that. And we know too that Satan knows what's coming very, very soon, and he is running wild at the moment, doing whatever he can because he knows what's coming in the not too distant future. But are you living and are you receiving this healing and this freedom that Jesus purchased for you and I? We need to be living in it. We need to be walking in it, right? And we need to also know how to receive it, where it comes from, and how to, like I said, one of the things is faith. We need to be men and women of faith. So here's another question. What is the other thing that God actually did for man when God looked down and he saw how Satan was oppressing mankind? And this is the big one. He gave us authority over the evil one. He gave us authority. Okay? Do you believe that you have authority over the devil? Do you believe that you have authority over evil spirits? Do you believe that you have authority over demons and so on? Folks, we have been given this authority. We've been given delegated authority to use, right? That we can use this so that you and I can do all the works that the Lord Jesus Christ did. We have this authority. And the power and the authority is in his name. The name of Jesus, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Folks, people on earth, at the moment, they might not confess that Jesus is Lord, right? Demons, maybe now they're not confessing, but it says that every tongue will ultimately confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So the thing is now, did Jesus give us this authority? And I want to just endorse, show you where it is in the scripture, because I think it's important we see it in the Word of God. And now this is Jesus speaking in Luke 10, verse 19. He says, behold, Jesus speaking to you today, I have given to you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all, there it is again, that word all, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. How's that? How's that? So we as believers in the Lord Jesus, we have been given authority over not some of the power of the devil, and you better believe that the devil has power, okay? He does, right? But we have been given authority over all of the power of the devil, according to the word, what Jesus says. So we have authority. Now, what's interesting with authority, so this authority, if you are a believer and you have God the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of you, you have been given this authority. You can have this authority, you know, and not use it. And that is the problem with Christians. We have been given this authority, But because you have been given it and you have made a decision not to use this authority over demons, the evil spirits, it doesn't mean that you don't have it. It just means that you as a believer have made a decision not to use the authority that you've been given. It's as simple as that. And folks, I truly believe that this is one of the areas where we are, how can I say, we need to a bit of a wake-up call. We need to know how much authority that we have, all this authority, and we had better start to rise up and use the authority that the Lord has actually given to us. Huh? Isn't it amazing? Sometimes we just get lulled into a place, huh, where we just don't rise up anymore. And it's as if, you know, when we are in that place and we're not using this authority, you better know that the evil one, it's like going into a boxing match. You got your gloves on and everything, and your adversary comes and you're about to box, but you choose not to fight. You just choose to get beaten up. And many believers are like that. Not rising up, because as soon as you throw your first punch as a believer, right, you have the victory. But we stand there and we just take a beating. And it's time that the church actually rose up, you know, with regards to this. Listen to this. This is the authority that we have been given. And we see it in James 4 verse 7. It says, therefore, submit yourselves to God. That's the first, that's a condition. Condition, submit to God. Then he goes on to say, resist the devil and he will flee from you. He will flee from you. That word flee, and I know I've said this before, it's as in terror. It's like a little puppy dog with its tail tucked firmly between its two back legs and running off yapping. That's the picture of when we start to rise up and use the authority that we have. So James is very clear here. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So let me ask you, okay, who must submit to God? We have to, folks. We have to submit to God. And to submit to God is just to start to do what God has told us to do. In all areas. And this becomes a problem because there's certain areas, you know, people will just say, well, I'm happy to do all of this, but not that area. That's going to affect my lifestyle. Right? In all areas. We submit to God. Who must resist the devil? We must, folks. We need to resist the devil. Don't ask Jesus to resist the devil for you. Resist the devil and he will flee from us. So our responsibility is to resist the devil ourselves. Okay? In other words, what we see in the Word of God, and it's now confirmation, that you and I have authority to use. We've got the authority and we have to use the authority that we've been given. We need to resist the devil. And again, I'm just saying, this is one of the areas I think, you know, we really fall short. People, you know, we see it in church. People got this problem and that problem and that problem, and you have a chat to them and you can see where it comes from, the issue that they're going through, because wherever there is stealing, killing and destroying, it is coming from the evil one. And you talk to people and they have these issues, but they don't rise up and they don't use their authority. It's like some people, I'm just saying, kind of have, they think they've got a little pact with the devil. Okay, you know, you don't mess with me and, you know, I won't mess with you. I mean it. Folks, we have to change this. We have to be on the offensive in all areas of our lives when it comes to this. So this is very important that we know these truths. And that is why it is so important that we get into the Word of God. Because I'll say it again, if you're not spending time in your Word, you're not going to know all of this stuff. You're only going to pick it up on a Sunday morning like this, right? We need to start to dig our own wells and start to do this for ourselves. So I'm just encouraging us, you know, put some Bible program, you know, reading on a daily basis in place, that we can be fed on a daily basis you know, by the word of God feeding us. In John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we really should be a people who know the truth about healing. Is that right? We must know the truth about healing. And it, to be honest, it shouldn't be that we get this in this context. We should, what I'm sharing here today should just be, how can I say, like a revision and just endorsement of what we know. That's how it should be. So we need to be a people who know the truth about healing. Why? So that we can walk in freedom, the freedom that Jesus purchased for us, and walk in freedom from sickness as well. You know, Satan operates on people's ignorance. I've said that already. He operates on people's ignorance, and his chief weapon is deception. Remember I said a couple of weeks ago, even Jesus, when he spoke to his disciples who had walked with him for 3 years, he said, "Do not be deceived." And these are guys that actually walked with him. So we need to be mindful of this thing of deception. And God really does work through his word. So it is the word of God that is actually quickened in our heart. God's word that is quickened in our heart by the Holy Spirit that will awaken your faith. And this will cause, you know, his healing power, the healing power of God, to be released in your body. That's it, how it works. God's word is healing medicine. Is that right? Is that what the word says? God's word is healing medicine to our bodies when we release it. Now, this is what God says about his word. You know, I think it's important we somehow have to understand how important it is for us to spend time in his word. And he says, we see in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, it says, "My son," talking to our daughters as well, "listen," God is saying, "listen to my words. Listen to my words. Bow down your ear to my sayings." In other words, not only listen, but get close in and really bow down and listen to what God is saying. Let God's words not depart from your eyes. In other words, we continually read them. Keep them in the midst of your heart. So not only do we read it and we incline our ear to it, but we keep the word of God in our hearts. Why do we do that? He tells us in verse 22, "For they are life to those who find them and health to all his flesh." Right? There it is again. God's word. It's the word and the spirit of God. Both of them. So if you come up just now, you know, for prayer, and you might not only be, you know, coming up for yourself, maybe you're going to be standing proxy for somebody, but come up with faith. Eh? Come up really expecting, you know, to be healed. Why? Because Jesus is the great physician, right? I want to just read a portion of scripture. This is so interesting. You know, we're talking about faith, and sometimes it's good to see what happens when there's no faith. Now this story, this we see it in the word, what happens when Jesus goes back to his hometown. Do you remember he goes back to his hometown, Nazareth, right? And the people there, in his hometown, they did not believe in him. They didn't have faith in him at all. They just remembered him as the carpenter, you know, the carpenter's son. Listen, this. It says, this is Mark 6:1. "And he went away from there, and he came to his hometown, and his disciples followed." So get the picture, Jesus going to Nazareth, going there with his disciples. "And on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished." So he's in his hometown, and they're just amazed, they're just astonished, saying, "Gee, wow, where did this man get these things? Wow, what wisdom has been given to him. How are such mighty works done by his hands?" They were aware of the signs and the wonders and the miracles taking place, right? And then suddenly, it says in verse 3, they said, "Oh, hang on, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary?" Okay. and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And then it says, and they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. And then it says, he could do no mighty work there. Why? They just saw him as the carpenter, right? Right, no faith there. He could do no mighty work there, except that he laid hands on a few sick people and he healed them. In other words, there were some minor ailments. You know, Jesus prayed with them and healed them. And then it's verse 6, it says, and he, Jesus, marveled because of their unbelief, their lack of faith. And then he went out among the villagers, and he was just teaching. He was just teaching the people there. So folks, we need to get a revelation of this. That by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed, right? And that means if it was by his stripes, we were healed 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago when he took your sickness and my sickness upon himself. And that means that you and I are the healed. We are the healed then, resisting sickness and not the sick trying to get healed. And there's a huge difference right there, because we need to get our thinking right that we are the healed. And I know that we're living in a fallen world, but we are the healed, resisting sickness and not the sick trying to get healed. Just as I close here, I just want to give us a few pointers that should help us, you know, with this thing. The first one is watch your words. Watch your words. Don't go out there and make negative confessions about what you see. And so often, you know, you tell someone, it's quite difficult. Sometimes you pray for somebody, even here, you pray for them, and then you have a chat to them over there, and you say, how are you feeling? Oh, I'm just feeling so sick. They can't wait to, it's like something inside of us just wants to, I don't know if we designed that we want sympathy. You know, I'm feeling so sick. And, you know, you just think, okay. Watch your words. Don't allow negative confessions to come out of your mouth once somebody has prayed for you. Because the Word of God says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Don't walk by what you see or feel. Right. The next thing is confess what the Word says about your situation. What does the Word say about whatever situation you might be in? We see in Joel 3:10, Let the weak say, I am strong. Hebrews 4:14, let us hold fast to our confessions of faith. Whatever, you know, once you've made a decision, make sure that you don't get snared and tricked by the words that actually come out of your mouth. Because basically what happens there, when you start speaking negatively, you are nullifying whatever's been prayed for and so on. Another thing, I said this early on, start to meditate on those healing scriptures. Take them out. Make a list of them all, and there's just a lot of them. Start to read through them so that the Logos word becomes Rhema, that the Logos becomes revelation, and suddenly you'll not only, something ignites on the inside of you, you know that that healing scripture is for you, and also you have an incredible peace because you just know that it is God speaking to you. So meditate on them. Another thing, make sure too, and this is a big one, that there is no undealt with sin issues in your life. Right? So often, you know, God's told us not to do this, and God is telling us, you know, to deal with that thing. He knows about it. Like I said last week, he wants us to come to him and just confess it to him, something he already knows. And then he says, then he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But when he puts his finger on you, you know, in certain areas, it might be unforgiveness towards a person. And we're walking in unforgiveness. He's telling us to deal with that thing, and yet we're not dealing with it, but we expect him to, you know, kind of apply his word without us doing what he's told us to do first. So it's these little things that are so important. Make sure that there's no undealt with sin, because he looks so forward to hearing you and I telling him what our sin is so that he can forgive us. All right? Especially unforgiveness. James 4:7. Submit to God. There's a condition there. Resist the devil. Who must resist the devil? Yeah, we resist the devil and he will flee from us. So basically what we have to do now, when it comes to this thing of, we're talking healing here today, is start to use the authority that the Lord has actually given us. Amen? Let's use it. In the name of Jesus. Satan, I address you. In the name of Jesus, I release you from your mission against me and my family now in Jesus' name. And then bind him up. And I bind you now in Jesus. And you need to be able to see in the spiritual realm that all those things that you're saying are happening, so that you can walk in this freedom. So we use the authority that we have been given. Proverbs 17:22. Now this is an interesting one. It says, a cheerful heart makes a quick recovery. Like I was giving you an example there, that person that keeps on telling you how sick they are, they're not cheerful in their heart. It says, a cheerful heart makes a quick recovery. In other words, we need to change our attitude to cheerful, okay, even in a bad situation, whatever that you experience in. Let's walk cheerfully, folks, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And also, we are not cheerful for the situation, we are cheerful in the situation. And that's the difference. It says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. In other words, understand that you and I are part of the all. We are part of the all that the scripture talks about. Also, expect to be healed. Expect it. There has to be, you know, once we've heard about healing here today, I would hope that our faith levels have risen, that there's an expectation because of what we've seen in the Word of God, that we expect to be healed. Expect it. And also knowing that this is part of what Jesus died for. Huh? So question, can we truly live the abundant life that Jesus purchased for us if we, you know, just walking around sick all the time? Jesus said he came to give us life and life in abundance. So we need to be a people that just go out there and do, folks, do what the Word of God says. Hey? Lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I don't think it says might recover. It says will recover. So let us just be obedient, you know, to what he says, that, you know, let's just do it, right? So really come forward. Now, you know, we have the great physician that is here. His name is Jesus. And if you need a touch from the Lord in terms of your healing, won't you just come forward? Let's just trust the Lord. Sorry?